I'm Bill Good, and welcome to those of you joining us this morning on the Chorus Radio Network. My next guest says our healthcare system is unsustainable, filled with an increasing number of bureaucrats who are making it hard for doctors to do their jobs. We first heard about Dr. Dennis Karpiak from Dr. Zafar Esak, who was going online to doclounge.net. That's a virtual doctor's lounge where doctors are sharing information. And Dr. Dennis Karpiak, who's an internist and ICU specialist and former board member of the BCMA for 12 years, was sharing information about how difficult it was for him to do his job. He tried to send a slide to a specialist and was given the runaround by the bureaucracy. Dr. Karpiak joins us now. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning.
You've been at this for some time. How much more difficult has it become to be a doctor?
Well, it's no more difficult to be a doctor, but it's become increasingly more difficult to sustain a practice in this province. And we can go back to the 19th century where a French historian called Alex de Tocqueville made the statement that whatever is unsustainable stops, it comes to an end. The BCMA 20 years ago formed a regionalization committee that predicted the rise of bureaucracy and a decline in patient care funding. So currently you can walk through any hospital and you'll see more administration offices than patient rooms. There's one administrator for every two patients. In Vancouver, the Grace Hospital was closed to patients and converted to administrators' offices. There's an office tower in Central City Square for Fraser Health. There's an office tower in downtown Vancouver for Providence Health. Patients don't go to these office towers. They're looked after in the dirty broom closets. I would venture that there's better cleaning in these office towers than in the patient rooms. There's also better food served to the administration in these office towers than to patients trying to recover. In Kamloops, where I work, the patient's food, their meals, is prepared in Vernon and trucked to Kamloops. The laundry is done in Salmon Arm and trucked back and forth. 30 years ago, in the Royal Inland Hospital, we had 420 beds. The population has doubled, and the beds have now decreased to 210. It's half the size. And at that time, it was run by three people and one secretary. The Interior Health Authority now has 12 vice presidents. The CEOs depend on staying within the budget in order to get their bonuses. At the present time, in British Columbia, there's one bureaucrat for every 1,400 citizens. In Germany, there's one bureaucrat for every 15,000 citizens. BC has 11 times the number of bureaucrats to deliver an inferior level of health care than in Germany. 25 years ago, the doctor's fees were 23% of the medical budget, which currently stands at $17.5 billion. That has now dropped to 16% of the budget. So there's a 7% shift of the $17.5 billion, which has gone to bureaucrat and administration compensation. That's where the money went. So we have insidious consequences. Two-thirds of the GPs have resigned hospital privileges. There are virtually no GPs that do deliveries. And why should they, since a midwife is paid twice as much? There are no longer any medical societies, and there's lack of attendance at medical staff meetings. There has been a total loss of engagement by doctors, and I would say nurses, with the healthcare system because of the rise in bureaucracy. Now, the most significant event within the last week in Kamloops is that our two dermatologists, as of September 1st, will de-enlist from Medicare. That means that all fees must be paid privately. Their fee schedule will be determined by the Canadian average for dermatology. Currently, they're being paid 30% less than the average Canadian dermatologist. They've received 1% per year increase over the last 20 years, which is less than the cost of living and overhead. As an example, if they do a 15-minute visit for complex care, such as a patient with psoriasis who's on immunosuppressant, requires lab investigations, et cetera, they net only $10. So as of September 1st, they estimate that 15% of the population will be able to pay for the service. 85% will not be able to pay, in spite of the fact they have MSP coverage. They will get that service pro bono. And arrangements have been made with the Kamloops Food Bank for these pro bono patients to make a contribution according to what they can afford. Is there anything else you wish me to add?
I was sitting just listening because you were painting such a bleak but articulate picture, and almost with the at the end of every sentence, my thought was, this is not sustainable.
Absolutely right. It was said in the 19th century. But it's fixable.
Well, I'm going to come back and ask you how you would fix it. But first, I must do this. I will also open the phones. But I would really like to hear from some other healthcare professionals to get your reaction to what Dr. Karpiak has been saying, what he has been living, and do you share his view and his experience? Talking with Dr. Dennis Karpiak from Kamloops, he says our healthcare system is unsustainable, filled with an increasing number of bureaucrats who are making it hard for doctors to do their jobs. But Dr. Karpiak also said he knows how to fix the system. So, doctor, how would you fix the system?
Well, you wouldn't enlist the help of the BCMA. That's not their mandate. And you wouldn't enlist the help of the Medical Services Plan or the Ministry of Health. You would need an independent body, five or six people, with abundant experience on the front line practicing medicine and surgery, and understand the complexities of nursing care. Currently, nurses are employed because they're so overworked and so understaffed, they simply give out pills. That's all they can manage in one of their shifts. That's not nursing care any longer. We have to go into this system armed with forensic auditors and find out where the money's gone. There has to be a money trail somewhere, and I'm saying it's to an overwhelming increase in bureaucracy rather than patient care. This is not Tommy Douglas's 1965 vision. Medicare was established to protect families from the consequences of ill health by covering their doctors and hospital bills. It was not intended to be a playground for bureaucrats to spend taxpayers' money frequently living in high rises in the middle of cities. That's how it has to be fixed, but it takes political courage to divorce yourself from the medical establishment and the political establishment, which is the Ministry of Health, and have an independent body with forensic authority to do exactly that.
Talking with Dr. Dennis Karpiak, internist, ICU specialist, former board member of the BCMA for 12 years. To your calls. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning. This is not, although I agree with your with your guest completely, in my experience, I have herpes of the eye, and I knew it was coming on, and it can be disastrous for my eye. And I go to the emergency, and I say, listen, I have herpes of the eye. Can you please give me some herpes medication? Doctor didn't want to give it to me, didn't see any symptoms. And I said, look, I'm not asking for morphine or anything here. Finally gave me a prescription, but it wasn't enough. So then I had to go to an eye specialist anyways. Couldn't go to the eye specialist without a referral. So I had to go back to another walk-in clinic to get a referral, to go to the eye specialist to give me more of the medication. Realistically, all I really needed is for a doctor to prescribe me the medication. Not, you know, I mean, the healthcare is probably spent, you know, like three visits to a eye specialist plus two visits to a regular doctor just to get medication for something that I've had all my life, and they wouldn't even take, you know, my word. Listen, I'm looking for herpes medication.
Dr. Carpia?
Well, that caller just described the complexity of the system. I would think that 30 years ago, his needs would have been more readily addressed.
Keith, good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm a retired physician, practiced for 30-some-odd years. I happen to live in the Valley. When I started here, we had one administrator that looked after the Abbotsford Hospital and the Mission Hospital, along with a couple of secretaries in each. We had one pharmacist who looked after the pharmacy of both hospitals with a couple of assistants. We've now lost hospital beds in Abbotsford, built a brand-new hospital but lost beds. We now have, I believe it is, 19 people in the pharmacy department of the one hospital. We have 23 or some odd CEOs running the Abbotsford Hospital. We've decreased the number of beds. The number of operations has decreased. Mortality rates have not improved. Nothing's really happened. St. Paul's Hospital has 383 administrative types for 343 patients. And I, for a long time, have been trying to get the government. I've talked to the ministers and everything to try and get a forensic audit done on the system, as suggested by the good doctor. And everybody seems to be afraid to do it. We spend 42% of our tax dollar in British Columbia on a system that is broken, spinning out of control. I don't get it. I don't understand the reluctance to try and fix a problem, which I think is of primary importance to everybody in our province and in the world, for that matter.
Did you say 23 CEOs?
We have 23 administrative CEOs of different types. And it takes up almost one, well, it takes up one floor of the hospital just for administrative offices, and we've decreased the number of beds in the hospital. It's ridiculous.
How does it happen that you build a brand new state-of-the-art hospital and lose beds?
Oh, it's very, very easy. I was, if you've got a minute,
yeah,
I'll be brief. I was on the hospital building committee when it first started way back in 83 or 84, at which time we could have built on the site of the old hospital. Plans were readily available from the United States for $183,000. We spent $26 million on planning for the new hospital to be built on the old site, and then it was totally scrapped. There was another $44 million spent on development, just on planning for the new hospital and the new site, and we ended up with loss of beds. We have hallways that are 10, 12 feet wide, and we have coffee shops. We have everything, but we have decreased beds.
Incredible. Dr. Karpiak, do you get any residents? I mentioned that you take part in the DocLounge.net. Is there a growing consensus among your colleagues that what you're saying is true and that the system is unsustainable? And is there a serious attempt at organizing pressure to make this government or the next one act on this?
Unfortunately not. The BCMA, is not their mandate. The BCMA is in a cozy relationship with the Ministry of Health, which is okay. I don't want to see the BCMA in some adversarial position. I think we need, as the Abbotsford doctor said, and if there is a committee ever formed, he should be on it and possibly chair it, because he has a great depth of knowledge in where the problems really lie in the entire healthcare system, Now, we already know the consequences of this. No GPs deliver babies. GPs have resigned all their hospital privileges. There are no medical societies where we can engage in communication. Nobody attends medical staff meetings anymore because it's absolutely pointless and fruitless. So we've got a problem, and it is not Tommy Douglas's vision.
Neil, good morning.
Yes, good morning. I absolutely agree with the good doctor that our system is unsustainable. But what are we doing to try to correct that? Well, yes, we can't concentrate only on the prevention, or sorry, the reactive healthcare system, or perhaps more appropriately is the illness care system. We have to concentrate on the front end, which is dealing with prevention. There are many things that are possible to do, and let me say one of them. For example, there's the Canadian Healthcare Co-op Federation. They have about 1 million members and being served in local areas. And these are things that, for example, are, let's say, discussed at the health level in terms of integrated primary and community care, but I don't see anything happening on the ground related to that very specific term that they're saying they're trying to roll out home care, they're trying to roll out very other community supports, but it's all over the place. And yes, it is a sad thing, which is a silo mentality that exists in the healthcare system. Everyone has their own fiefdom, and nobody can really decide about anything in particular. And yes, it is in the strategy, for they see that the emergency wards are piling up because we don't have enough doctors and not enough integrated medical clinics. And yes, I think the solution will come from us at the local level. But not only that, it has to percolate right into the urban planning process, the way we make our buildings.
Dr. Carpia, any final thoughts?
Well, I agree with a lot of that, but I just want to give you an anecdote. If everybody goes around trying to preempt healthcare, the hospital in Terrace, where I last worked, seems to have enough money to hire a group of people to go around and actually weighing soap hand soap dispensers to extrapolate how much soap was used over an interval of time and see if the staff are washing their hands frequently enough. This is utter and absolute nonsense, and this is an example of the waste of money in this whole system, and it has to be stopped.
Dr. Karpiak, thank you.
Goodbye.